Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Has traveled the world to bring you the story. Get it first, fast, and unfiltered. Now, this is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I've described this to a lot of people that nobody's more excited to be here than me. For me, I think the biggest thing I'm going to have to overcome now is mentally rather than physically. I know I'm going to be in good hands. I know I'm going to be okay. It could be worse. It's not an ACL. We double-checked on it.
That was Michael Saunders, scheduled to be the Blue Jays' opening day left fielder, now out until the All-Star break after suffering a torn meniscus yesterday, shagging fly balls 2 days before the official opening of training camp for position players. Stepped in a sprinkler head or an area around a sprinkler head in one of the fields of Bobby Maddock, and as he described it, heard his knee go pop. So Michael Saunders, who is being counted on to provide some left-handed pop in a lineup that has lost an awful lot of left-handed hitting in the offseason, he's now out until the All-Star break. The Blue Jays initially will try to fill from within, and that's going to mean, you know, Kevin Pillar, Andy Dierks, a bunch of guys who are frankly, at best, journeymen. Couple of non-roster invitees, they'll get the first crack at filling this position. But it's not just a matter of replacing your left fielder or putting somebody in left field and catch a fly ball. This was a guy who was going to help make up for the lack of left-handed hitting or for the loss of left-handed hitting suffered by the Blue Jays this offseason, what with the move of the loss of Melky Cabrera to free agency, and as well as Colby Rasmus and the trade of Adam Lind to Milwaukee. That's a lot of left-handed hitting suddenly gone from the lineup. Michael Saunders was expected to be the authoritative bat, the authoritative left-handed bat in the lineup. He's not there anymore. Stephen Brunt is our Sportsnet columnist. He's on the scene in Dunedin. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So much, Steve, for the optimism of spring training.
What, it's all over now?
It's done. I don't even know why we're playing the season. No, well, I mean, in all honesty, all kidding aside, Shai and I were talking about it. The issue here is the left-handed bat. That's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, I think one of the things, you know, when you talked to Alex this spring, one of the things he has been kind of enthusiastic about is how much better their outfield defense is going to be. So, you know, with minus Melky and minus Colby Rasmus, who was not good last year, you know, I think the idea was that with Pompey and Saunders, they were going to be a lot better defensively in the outfield, which I think is true. But so there is that element. But, you know, you can find somebody to play defense in left field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin Pillar can play defense in left field. But, what you're going to miss is a kind of – I thought that the Saunders thing was kind of – it wasn't the most hyped acquisition, certainly, of the offseason, but it was. I thought it was a really nice fit. And when I saw him here, you know, he's a guy – you kind of realize he has some assets that they need, I thought it was kind of a nice quiet move that actually might pay a lot of dividends. And he was so happy to be here. You know, he was a guy. You know, he's not like dead. He's coming back at the All-Star break, but you know, he is a guy who really kind of saw this as an opportunity. And of course, you know, they needed that bat, but they didn't need him to carry the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a bottom third of the order guy no matter what. And you know, you eliminate him, and it's. Yeah, the options are not that great, to be honest.
Yeah, and I understand what Alex is saying, and this is the approach. I mean, I've covered teams where guys have been hurt in spring training and been out for a while, and your first when it happens early in spring training, your first approach as a general manager is, look, we've got 60 guys in camp. I'll pick up the phone and make a call. Maybe somebody's available, but I want to see what I have here. I don't know. Maybe somebody has an outrageous spring, and you can ride them for a little bit. 2-3 weeks into the season, then look at making a deal. And I think that's the proper, the proper tack. I would be surprised if we see a left fielder, a guy who's played every day in left field in camp, you know, in the next week. I think some people are kind of expecting that Alex is going to do that. I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. No, I think you're going to, it's going to, there's going to be a fair bit of wait and see here, not just in wait and see in terms of what develops here with the Jays, but wait and see what happens elsewhere in baseball and who might become available. You know, it's the same answer I'd have about the Deonner Navarro situation. I don't think they're going to deal him tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're necessarily going to deal him in 2 weeks. But it's entirely possible that a situation will develop somewhere else that it's going to make it advantageous for the Jays to deal him. So everybody's got to kind of sit back and take a deep breath. Same thing here. But, yeah, I think they're going to give, you know, Pilar was probably going to make the team anyway as the backup outfielder. Because he can play center field, so that's assuming Pompey asserts himself and wins the starting job, which I think he's, you know, it's his to lose for sure. You know, you've got, you know, and you've got some kind of, you got Chris Dickerson, you know, that does, I know no one's going to get excited about that, and they shouldn't. You got Andy Dirks. I'm not quite certain. You know, he's rehabbing a back injury. He's got mm-hmm. a minor league deal here. If he was healthy, that wouldn't be a terrible option. You know, it's a better option than Chris Dickerson, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I guess with Dickerson, you'd look at maybe a platoon with Dickerson and Pilar and left.
You'd have to, I think. Yeah, I think you'd have to. So you know, and you're right. There's probably somebody I'm not talking about here. You know, who could potentially, you know, earn a spot on the team. Who, you know, is not kind of in the forefront at the moment. But yeah, I think this will be a wait and see. And then you know, then the question will be, you know, you start the season. You know, can we limp through 3 months or 4 months? With maybe a left field platoon or you know maybe with somebody who's kind of a journeyman and assume that the rest of this lineup is going to carry the team.
Yeah, and I think one of the things too, we're joined by Stephen Brunt on the Jeff Blair Show. The other thing too, and Shai and I touched on this a little bit. I think in some ways this kind of makes Navarro or kind of reinforces Navarro's value for this team because at least. I mean, there's a left-handed bat. He's a switch hitter, but there's a left-handed bat you can use, and maybe using him as a DH kind of mitigates the loss of Michael Saunders.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. They keep flip-flopping on whether Edwin Encarnacion's a first mm-hmm. baseman or DH this year, he may be there today. I didn't see him, but, you know, he's got to show up here at some point. I don't think anyone's actually asked Edwin what he thinks, but... You know, some people seem to say, you know, I've heard John Gibbons say that he's the first baseman, and I've heard other people say he doesn't want to play first base anymore. He wants to DH. So, you know, there's that. But I if they can afford to carry Navarro, you know, both, you know, in terms of payroll flexibility and in terms of the roster, I've always liked the idea of having him. You know, he's not happy, as everybody knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be an everyday catcher, an almost everyday catcher. He's not going to be that here. He's not going to catch very much here at all. But I've loved the idea of having his bat, you know, just having his bat on the bench and having him as an option because, you know, for exactly the reasons you state, you know, switch hitter, but he gives you a little bit of balance from the left side that you don't have otherwise. And, you know, he makes contact, and I think he's, aside from clogging up the bases, I think he's a really useful offensive player.
Hey, Stephen, I know you can't quantify this. You can't find a stat for it, but, I mean, all kidding aside, this is supposed to be a time of optimism. Spring training, the start of spring training. I don't even know if you can do this, but how do the Blue Jays, how do the players kind of prevent this from becoming one of those eye rolling, you know, here we go again situations?
Well, no slight to Michael Saunders, but, you know, if Michael Saunders getting hurt is going to sink this team, then this team had a lot of issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, that bigger issues than we, you know, than I actually think they do. You know, this is the kind of thing that happens to every team in spring training, right? Everybody's got a question mark. Everybody, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, CC Sabathia reported at 305 pounds the other day. But, you know, would you rather deal with Michael Saunders being out to the All-Star break or a guy who's potentially your number one coming in, you know, as big as a whale?
Mm. Although he's light, that's what he pitched at when he was successful.
I know he was
intent. Yeah, exactly.
And an unsuccessful skinny guy, but still, I think this is the kind of thing that you kind of roll with, and I think a team rolls with. And where the enthusiasm comes from, and the excitement comes from, the optimism comes from in this team right now. You know, number one is, you know, the new guys coming in. It's always good to kind of that you can feel the little surge of energy from. When Donaldson arrived, when Russell Martin came in, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of sense there's a little bit of, you know, people kind of looking around, sort of like it was 2 years ago. That didn't pan out very well, but, you know, when all the new guys came in from the trade, but the main thing is the pitching. You know, everybody's looking at those young guys, the young pitchers, and saying, whoa, you know, this. Now, if things start happening with the pitching staff, I'm knocking on wood right now, then that's a different that's a different conversation.
But that's
where the optimism is, Jeff. You know, look, you watch Norris and Sanchez and Stroman and Hutchison and even Osuna, who was throwing pretty well yesterday. You know, go watch those guys pitch here in Florida, and you can't help but think, you know, help it being, you know, at least Florida optimistic, if you know what I mean. You know, spring training optimistic. It's exciting. That part, and that's where, you know, that's still the big story here to me.
Mr. Brunt, as always, it's great to talk to you. I will see you on the weekend.
See you soon.
Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet columnist in Dunedin, as the Blue Jays prepare to begin the official opening of full training camp tomorrow. Position players scheduled to report today. First on-field workouts tomorrow. Michael Saunders, of course, not part of that. He will undergo surgery for a torn meniscus. It's the opening day left fielder, gone before the official start of camp. So Alex Anthopoulos' initial reaction to this injury, to this news, and rightly so, I don't think anybody can argue against this, has been to say, look, we're going to look at our internal options first. Spring training hasn't even started. There's no point in phoning a bunch of people and trying to make a trade. I mean, there's a reason you've got all these bodies in camp to begin with. I see that on Twitter, Michael Wilner has already weighed in, and he thinks that it'll be Chris Dickerson and Kevin Pillar in a left field platoon. I would think that would probably be the case. Andy Dierks is not at Major League camp yet. Believed to be still rehabbing his back injury. I would think that Wilner's probably right about that. That's probably the way it will shake out, or at least I think those are the initial options that John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos will look at. So Michael Saunders is out until the All-Star break. Again, a good defender, but I think that left-handed bat is going to be missed more than anything else. It's the team that already is without Colby Rasmus, Adam Lind, and, of course, Melky Cabrera, switch hitter. So do you think the Saunders injury and the Jays' corresponding, I'm going to call it lack of outfield depth, do you think that creates a bigger problem for the team than second base or the bullpen? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Join the conversation on social media. Use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Aaron Burrell, the sky is not falling. Navarro will fill the hole in the lineup. Pillar and left. Too much TO sports drama. We do like our drama, don't we? Jason DeMarcum, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, morning, Jeff.
Morning.
Yes, I think it does create a bigger problem. To be honest, when I heard this morning, I thought it was a bad joke. And I understand and I do agree with you that at this point there isn't a lot of reason to go out scrambling around. But as I told your screener, this is what bothers me about the Toronto Blue Jays and bothers me about Alex.
Mm-hmm.
You've got $140 million to spend. And in my opinion, they don't necessarily, they've got it spread to too thin in certain spots. And to top it off, how do the Dodgers sit there and other teams sit there and sign guys to minor league deals, i.e. Ichiro, i.e. Reed Johnson, guys like this that you know are solid major leaguers, they're depth people, you bring them in and you make a proper competition and you insure yourself against this kind of a stupid injury. And yeah, I think they've left themselves threadbare. And to top it all off, I don't think Alex has any resources to do anything, even if there was a good player out there that he could go and get today. And it frustrates the hell out of me. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with free agents. There's the reason they're probably not coming here is they didn't see it. They weren't going to get the money they wanted. And secondly, they probably just didn't see the job opening.
Right.
It's that. I mean, if you were Ichiro and you looked at this team.
But you're telling me Ichiro couldn't fill that fourth.
He could, but no. But here's the thing. If you're Ichiro, why would you come here?
Why would you? Is the situation really any better in Miami?
I think he probably got a read in that the situation is better in Miami. Absolutely, it's a National League team. You're going to have there's you make much more use of your bench than you do in the American League. And I also think artificial turf is the biggest reason for that. I don't think Ichiro wants anything to do with artificial turf. But he also looked at this team and said, hey, they've invested. Obviously, Jose Bautista is not going anywhere. They've got this guy in center field. Ichiro doesn't want to play center field. They got this guy in center field. He's their one of their top prospects. And Michael Saunders is in left field. If I'm Ichiro, I'm going, so let me get this straight. I'm going to go to a team that, one, plays an artificial turf. Two, is covered on both corners. I'm not going to start there. And three, plays in the American League.
So, Jeff, do you think they have enough guys that – do you think they've been responsible to bring in enough guys on these, like, Chris Dickerson-type deals that they do have enough – like, there'd be too many of them kind of thing? You'd just be blurred with a whole bunch of these guys that are marginal? Like,
I don't know.
Is butt enough at this point?
I don't know how many teams – I mean, how many teams have an everyday player ready to replace an everyday player? I mean, there are teams that have outfield depth. Okay, the Dodgers do. Although they've got a guy in Andre Ethier they're trying to get rid of. San Diego's got some outfield depth. People have this
idea. Boston does, but they aren't dealing with us.
Right, but people have this idea that every team in baseball is loaded. I mean, the Yankees don't have any depth. The Orioles don't have any depth.
Right.
Tampa Bay doesn't have any. Everybody's got this idea that every team has got a bona fide major leaguer stuck away in AAA. Generally, that's not the case when you're talking about an everyday player. I mean, maybe you might have an older pitcher that you can bring up and, you know, ride for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Baltimore did that a couple of years ago. Every pitcher that Dan Duquette called up seemed to be able to, you know, throw lights out for at least 2 weeks. And then when he was done, they sent him back down.
Well, you know what, Jeff? This never would have happened if they just put artificial turf in Florida because there's no sprinklers required there.
I was waiting. Thanks for the call, Jason. I was waiting for somebody to do that. I was waiting for somebody to play the artificial turf grass thing. Several people on Twitter. Now, they can't even get grass right in Florida. Now you want them to put it in the Rogers Center. That's kind of cheap. But a wholly understandable joke that you would want to make, or a wholly understandable connection you'd want to make. Sean and Caledon, you're in Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Hey, I think Anthopoulos has to wait. He really has no choice. He can't, tell other GMs that he's desperate to go and grab an outfielder. And, what's going to happen as spring goes on, as you know, Jeff, it always happens. There's guys out of options at the end of spring, and who better than anybody than Anthopoulos to pick a guy up like that? He's doing that all the time, so we'll see what happens there. And then also with Navarro, I think now Navarro gives you a piece where you could go out and get an outfielder. Everybody's been saying, well, Navarro's going to get you an arm, but now there's another chip to play there. Because
let me tell you need a left-handed bat badly. That outfielder you get better be a better left-hand hitter than Deonner Navarro. Otherwise, it's, why are you making the move?
Well, here's why you have to make that move, and this is what a lot of people aren't talking about, is if you have Martin and Navarro as your two catchers, I do not think they can carry three. How do you DH Navarro? Managers won't even pinch hit for their catcher in the eighth inning because they have to keep that catcher on the bench.
That's a great point.
You know, it's not going to happen. They have to move Navarro, I think. There's no choice. He's unhappy. He's not going to be a bench piece unless you keep Toley. So it's going to work out, and I think patience is the best option here.
Yeah, no, Sean, I appreciate the call, and that's a great point. If you look at Navarro as your everyday DH, you've got to have another backup catcher. And you'd be carrying essentially three catchers on your line. And maybe that's the way it's going to go. And then we get into the whole discussion about having Toley on your team, a guy who is an offensive black hole and really just does one thing, and that's catch a guy who's going to be pitching every fifth day. That's really all he does. But, you may end up having to go that way. But all I'm saying is if you need to have some left-hand hitting offense in your lineup, you got to, I think, at least take that into account with Deonner Navarro. Andre in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Morning, Jeff. I think my biggest concern about this whole Saunders injury is not necessarily him being out of the lineup. I think we could probably get by with having a platoon situation until the All-Star break. But what scares me the most, and nobody's really talked about, is what happens if Pompey stumbles out of the gate? It's kind of like what Goins did at the beginning of last year. You know, this is a guy where he hasn't had a ton of major league experience, though, I mean, when he did play last year, I mean, I was impressed like everybody. But what happens if this guy stumbles? What do the Jays do then? I mean...
I've said this often, that I was prepared at the start of the year to go into spring training with Dalton Pompey in center field if I had a proven major league second baseman. Or I was prepared to go with somebody else at second base if I had a proven everyday major league center fielder. I have an issue with having holes at those two positions. And like you, I mean, I don't know what Dalton Pompey is going to be. He could be Anthony Gose. I mean, you wouldn't think so, but we don't know. Look at how excited we were getting about Anthony Gose. Remember when people were saying that Anthony Gose was the best defensive center fielder this team has had since Devon White? I disagreed with that anyhow. I think Vernon Wells, people tend to overlook that, but Vernon Wells, when he first came up, was a pretty damn good defensive center fielder. But I agree with you. You've got to have real concerns about that. There's no guarantee that the kid hits. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to throw the ball. But there's no guarantee the kid hits. Absolutely. And that's another point. Now, all of a sudden, maybe your backup center fielder, Kevin Pillar, you may be looking at him as your left fielder. Andrew in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, we know that Michael Saunders is out until the All-Star break. Does this change your mind as to what is the biggest concern for the Blue Jays going into spring training?
It doesn't. You know, it's the same story. If this happens to the Yankees when they're hard on for competing, they go out and get somebody. Same for the Red Sox. With us, it's a platoon option or some B-plus guy. We're going to run them out there. We're going to preach about being patient, and then we're going to wait, and it's going to be too late. You backload Russell Martin's albatross of a contract, presumably so you can compete now, and then you can't fill second base, you can't fill center. If Encarnacion DHs, you've got a quad A guy in Justin Smoke at first, and you're going to tell me this team is set on competing. Three guys in your rotation who, albeit have great potential, combined for, 2 years of experience?
Mm-hmm.
People don't stress that when Stroman went through the major leagues a second time last year, he got hit a lot harder than the first time. There's a lot of crap here. Just garbage. It's getting sickening having to endure this. You go out and acquire guys like Reyes and Burley. You know what you're getting with these backloaded contracts, and then you cry poor. This happens every year. You see guys like Kawasaki come up because you can't fill a void. Why would you even try to supplement the roster at all if you're not set on competing? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Appreciate the call, Andrew. And can't disagree completely. I always say it's not my money. But yeah. If you're in, you're in. It's the way I look at it. If you're in, you're in. Joel in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Great to talk to you again.
Good talking to you, Joel.
I want to call out Rogers, the Toronto Blue Jays, on the state of our spring training facility. I really doubt that something like this would happen, you know, at the, you know, Dodgers facility, the Yankees facility.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
The Baltimore Orioles trained in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry, the Yankees were in Fort Lauderdale. The Yankees. This is a while ago, mind you, but they're still the Yankees. It was actually, there were more the Yankees in. This is when the Yankees were, you know, they were becoming the Yankees, right? They were going to be the big deal.
Right.
Howard Farmer was a guy, a pitcher with the Montreal Expos. Best young pitcher in camp that year. Delivering a pitch, cracked his ankle on the mound of the main field where the Yankees train, where all the Yankees pitchers were. Cracked his ankle stepping into a hole on the pitcher's mound. His career was never the same. It does happen. I mean, it does happen. You do see freak injuries during spring training. I'll tell you what. I've been at field level on just about every minor league complex in Florida. They've all got the same thing. They've all got the sprinklers in the field. They do. I mean, I've been in the field. I've done interviews where the Philadelphia Phillies prospects train on the field with guys. They've all got the sprinklers. That's pretty common.
Sorry, Jeff. It's just frustrating. You know, newly acquired Michael Saunders shows up early. He's pumped to, you know, prove himself. He's a great left-handed bat for us. And something like this happens. And I understand it's baseball. Something like this could happen to anyone. But, you know, I heard from, you know, maybe a former Blue Jay who did tweet, he'll go nameless, about the state of the Bobby Maddox training complex. And my thoughts were maybe, you know, it's time to move. Maybe they need to reassess everything. And as you said, if something like this can happen at any field, I guess that's okay. But, I mean, maybe they should still look at that, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Jays have been talking to the city of Dunedin about improving, but most of the improvements are the stadium that they've been looking at, as opposed to the Bobby Maddox complex. But yeah, I mean, it's not state of the art compared to other teams. Most places in Florida, you've got the minor league team and the major league team kind of in the same area. Here, at least initially, you have Jays players working out because there's so many of them working out at the Bobby Maddox complex. I can only tell you, I know from the past that players have joked about, they've called it Death Valley, in one center field at one of the practice fields in Dunedin. I don't, or at Bobby Maddox Stadium. I don't know if that's the field that Michael Saunders was on. I really don't. But again, sprinkler heads, you see them all over the fields in Florida. I tend to think this is more bad luck than substandard facilities. And you know what? I'll throw this out there, though. I mean, I may be wrong. That's my initial reaction to this wasn't, oh my God, it was that, you know, horse bleep Bobby Maddox complex that did this. That wasn't my initial reaction to it. Chris in Stony Creek, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, how are you, buddy? Great show. Might be this cold weather for too long. I'm a little cynical today, but I just hear a lot of fans calling up and hating, let's say, on Alex Anthopoulos for not more depth or not signing more players. Like, if you think he's got an extra $50 million that he's just keeping on his budget and he doesn't want to spend it, like, you don't think he wants to go and get John Lester? You don't think he wants to go and get these guys? Like, I think that Alex Anthopoulos did, you know, some of the moves could have been better, but I think he did the best he could this year. I think he's trying to be imaginative, let's say, with picking up that guy from the Tigers at second base, you know? Mm-hmm. I just hear a lot of fans hate on him. But my question to you, Jeff, is it's more Rodgers. So my question to you is, as a fan and Rodgers as an owner, in terms of the budget and the money that they've put towards the Jays, like, as a fan, is that okay? Should we accept that? Should we feel that Rodgers hasn't put enough into it? In terms of the ownership and a fan, how do you think we should be reacting?
I mean, I'll tell you the way I react. First of all, is the payroll, and thank you for the call. Can you compete in this payroll? Can you win in this payroll? Absolutely. Other teams have done it. Baltimore has done it. Recently, Tampa Bay has done it. So people who sit there and say, oh my, if only, what do you want? You think $150 million would make a difference? You should be able to compete in this payroll. It makes sense to me that this team have a top 10 payroll. I don't have a problem with the payroll, but I'm going to put a little asterisk beside that. And I kind of blame Alex for the way the payroll, especially last year, was managed. I don't think you can put yourself in the position where you need to do all sorts of financial gymnastics to add a guy like Irvin Santana, or put yourself in a position where you get to the trade deadline and you can't make a move because you're up against the budget. I don't think the budget changed dramatically. So to blame ownership for the fact that the general manager essentially ran out of money, I don't I don't necessarily buy that. I think you can compete in this payroll. Now, where I might, again, it's not my money, where I might go on from that is, I might say, okay, look, this is the situation we're in. Our general manager didn't do a great job with the payroll. But, you know, we got a chance to win. We've got this product on the field. We're committed to a lot of money for the next couple of years. Let's see what we can do. And I'm putting that in quotation marks. Let's see what we can do. And we honestly don't know whether Rodgers and Beeston and Anthopoulos have ever had that, quote, let's see what we can do discussion. We really don't. So I guess what I'm saying in my perfect world, I have no problem with the payroll being what it is. But I would also, if I was owning the team, be prepared to throw more money in for situations like an injury or picking up a player who can make a difference. But we don't know if that conversation was had. And I would put to you that I don't think Irvin Santana is necessarily a player that would have made a huge difference last year. A little bit of breaking news from John Heyman of CBS Sports. K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, has agreed to a two-year contract with the Milwaukee Brewers. He will also have a team deal for the third year. I'm sorry, for a third year on that deal. John Heyman right now does not have the dollar figure. Some people had been speculating that Francisco Rodriguez might be an option for the Blue Jays at the back end of the bullpen. He's a Scott Boras client. That was never going to happen. And beyond that, 2 years plus a club option. I don't know if I'd do that if I'm the Blue Jays. Anyhow, K-Rod signing with the Milwaukee Brewers, or at least has an agreement with the Brewers on a two-year deal. That deal will also include a team option for the third year. That from John Heyman of CBS Sports. We're going to take a break and be joined by John Tomasi, Red Sox beat writer for the Boston Herald. And you know what? When John calls, we'll take a call. We'll take a call before we go to John, because a lot of you want to weigh in on the Michael Saunders injury and on the Blue Jays situation. So we'll get back to your calls as well. It's a Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're back. Scott Morrison of Hockey Central will join us at 11 o'clock. We will have Leafs Nation postgame tonight with Stellick and Osborne at 10 p.m. right after the Leafs Flyers game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jorge Arajuar is a senior writer for Vice Sports. He's got a terrific series of articles on Cuba, specifically sports in Cuba. He'll join us at 11:15, and then John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, at 11:35. He is at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim spring training facility today. Of course, the Angels dealing with the Josh Hamilton situation. Josh Hamilton meeting yesterday with Major League Baseball, with the commissioner's office, due to receive discipline for an as yet undisclosed violation that appears to focus on recreational drug use. Of course, we know that Josh Hamilton had spent time in a facility for alcohol and drug use. So we'll talk to John Paul Morosi about that, and maybe get Morosi's take on what the Blue Jays may do in left field, and also talk to him about the K-Rod contract. For those of you who missed it, Francisco Rodriguez just signing a contract with the Milwaukee Brewers for 2 years with a club option for the third year. I'm going to be joined by John Tomasi of the Boston Herald in a few minutes, but let's go to Aaron and Stove. We'll continue our discussion of Michael Saunders. Aaron, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
A couple comments on, obviously, on the psyche of the team and then the personnel to fix this situation. Obviously, this hurts Jays fans just because it's almost like, are we cursed and doomed to some sort of injury bug playing our season? We kind of relied on a strong presence in left field. Let's face it, his numbers weren't great last year in Seattle, but we were hoping that Park adjusted. He should be able to make a comeback here in Toronto. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case, but the reality is Gibby said it best. We've got a bunch of guys internally. We don't want to BS these guys. We want these guys to think that they're competing for a job, and the team dynamics, that's how it should be. I mean, there are obviously the names that were mentioned, Dierks and a bunch of other guys, Pilar, who could step in, but Pompey still hasn't earned a job yet, but he's a switch hitter. You also have the internal, the unorthodox options, if you will. I mean, Edwin played a couple innings in last season. You could possibly do that. You have Danny Valencia, who I believe played an outfield spot a couple games ago. I mean, there's some unorthodox ways of doing this. And let's not forget, we picked up a good month out of Juan Francisco off the scrap heap. We've got guys like that who can come in and provide that type of season for us. I mean, the Yankees picked up Chris Young, and he did a great job for them down the stretch last season. There's these guys who aren't going to be available at the end of spring training.
I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for artificial turf, it might be time to have a conversation with Jose Reyes about moving to left field.
Yeah, exactly. There's
I don't know how that would go over.
I mean, we can relax. There's going to be, of the three players that we acquired, Donaldson, Martin, and Saunders, I think Saunders being injured is the one, as fans, we might have probably accepted the most if we had versus Donaldson or Martin getting injured. So I guess if you look at it that way, this is the less of three evils. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, I appreciate the call. I'm just throwing that out there. Jose, the manager wants to see you. How'd you like to play left field? No. Okay. So let's see what the Boston Red Sox can do today to match the drama out of the Blue Jays camp. For those of you who just joined, Michael Saunders, the opening day left fielder for the Blue Jays, out until the All-Star break with a torn meniscus. Several people pointing out on Twitter that they have either A, firsthand knowledge, or B, have gone on Twitter to find the information, or C, are in the medical profession saying, Jeff, it's a long time to be out for a meniscus injury. All I'm doing is reporting what the team said. All I'm doing is reporting what the player said, although Michael Saunders said that he was hoping he would be back before the All-Star break. Anyhow, that's the drama for today. Today is the official reporting date for position players. Tomorrow's the first formal workout for position players, and already they're man down. John Tomasi, you cover the Red Sox or the Boston Herald. Beat that. Beat that. We've already lost an everyday a player out of the lineup, and it's not even, we're just at the reporting date. Beat that.
Yeah, no such drama yet. We just have David Ortiz unloading in one of his classic expletive-laden diatribes about keeping one foot in the box, but nothing like a four-month meniscus. I thought that was like 3 to 6 weeks kind of deal every time you hear about those.
That's what people are saying. You know, again, this is just the data from the Blue Jays. And we also know that there's no ACL. My first reaction was, okay, so maybe there's an ACL involved here. And apparently, according to Michael Saunders, the ACL is fine. So I don't know. That's what we're going on. Maybe that's a Canadian exchange rate factored in.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. Yeah. Maybe it's an exchange rate thing.
Maybe it's 3 to 6 American, 21 weeks Canadian. I don't know how that works. So far the biggest controversy, my understanding, in Red Sox camp has been the placement of Larry Lucchino in the team biography. Is this true?
Yeah, that was surreal is probably the word for it yesterday. It never ceases to amaze me how people who are obviously brilliant businessmen and have made billions of dollars can come off as so clownish and buffoonish over the smallest things. And it was like a Laurel and Hardy routine yesterday when they were all trying to say that first they didn't even know about the masthead, and then they were saying they didn't care, and then they were saying they were going to change it. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I don't know how much of the palace intrigue you're really interested in, but there's a partner in the Red Sox ownership named Michael Gordon, who is the silentest of silent partners. And very quietly, he has amassed more shares in the Red Sox than anyone except John Henry. And so he is really the number two owner of the team now. And that means everyone except John Henry is below him. So this has caused a big stir in Boston, because it means that Larry Lucchino, irascible, you know, battling Larry Lucchino, has possibly been marginalized just a little bit in the running of the team. Now, Larry turned 70 in September, and, you know, I asked him yesterday if he would be considering dialing back, scaling back his responsibilities just because of where he is in his life. And he said at some point, yeah, but he doesn't want to disappear completely. So anyway, this is the kind of thing that seems to only be of interest to people in Boston, but can't get enough of it. Any kind of soap opera and, you know, the wheels turn.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox with Hanley Ramirez, Pablo Sandoval, Rick Porcello, Wade Miley, Justin Masterson. You've now got Yoan Moncada. I don't know what the timeline is for him. Rusny Castillo's there. There's a lot of new faces at this camp. And John, most of the people I talk to around baseball, they think this is a real good lineup. The question is who pitches and how well do they pitch?
Yeah, and that's absolutely the same questions are being asked here. The lineup looks tremendous. You know, you have Mookie Betts, who it was such a lost season last year. He probably got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but he was tremendous in August and September. And he looks like a potential, he's the heir apparent to Jacoby Ellsbury atop the order that they thought Jackie Bradley would be. And they're talking about him maybe not even making the team because of Rusney Castillo and Shane Victorino's health. All the names you mentioned before, plus David Ortiz, plus Dustin Pedroia, plus Mike Napoli, they have a very deep lineup, a lineup more reminiscent of a typical Red Sox lineup than what we saw last year, a team that really couldn't score. So on that side of the ball, they're good to go. Pitching is the big question mark. And what the Red Sox are banking on, all the pitchers you named outside of Justin Masterson are under age 30. They're all in their 20s. And so they're hoping that they've picked up these guys when they're ready to take that leap to the next level, because, you know, the example they like to cite is Corey Kluber. You know, who knew what Corey Kluber was at this time last year, and he ends up winning the Cy Young. That's probably obviously best case scenario for one of these guys, but they look at someone like Porcello, who's got a lot of experience already in the big leagues with Detroit, you know, 6 years with Detroit, and they look at him as a guy potentially ready to take that next step. And if he does, you now have your guy atop the rotation, and then everyone else can fall into place.
In conversation with John Tomasi, Red Sox beat writer for the Boston Herald. John, what?
I got to correct you real quick. I just switched jobs, so I'm at WEEI.com.
Close.
Boston,
right? Travis, I asked you. I asked my producer. You guys change jobs all the time.
That's not his fault. I keep saying John Tomasi from the Boston Herald. It's only been like a month, so no worries.
One of the things that really interests me with this team, they put a lot of faith in Koji Uehara in the bullpen, and the numbers aren't great for closers at the age of 40 or above, yet the Red Sox don't seem to have much of an issue with this.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of been an underreported story so far because of, you know, the focus on the starting pitching and some of the who's going to start in right field and, of course, the palace intrigue of the ownership. But you're right. They're banking on a 40-year-old closer, and you look historically, how many of them have really done well? You're Mariano Rivera, but he's the gold standard for everything. Maybe somebody like Trevor Hoffman, but you're really counting on one hand the number of guys who have done that job well to the level that they expect Koji to do it. They will tell you that the reason they feel he's the exception is because of his stuff, first of all. He's never been a high-velocity guy, so it's all about deception and split and, you know, pinpoint location and that kind of thing, and they feel he can close at 90, 89 to 91, somewhere in there. And then also, they don't feel like he has the same wear and tear as some other guys at that advanced age, you know, having pitched in Japan and then come over here and, you know, split between rotation and relieving to start, and then had a year in Texas where he only threw about 30 innings. So they're hoping that all of these things put together will equal an exception to the rule, but I think you're right. I think it's a very fair question to ask. Are they expecting too much out of him?
John, it was great of you to join us. And next time you do join us, I will identify you as being from WEEI.com. And in the meantime, Travis is being taken out to the back and being flogged as we speak.
No, go easy on Travis. I love the Herald. So, yeah, there's no problem there at all.
Take care, John.
All right, Dick, talk to you soon.
All righty, that's John Tomasi, Red Sox beat writer for WEEI.com, my lunatic producer. Seriously, man, but those Boston guys, it's like a never-ending free agent year in Boston. Guys shift jobs all over the place. That's what happens when you're good. Scott Morrison of Hockey Central is going to join us. A little bit of hockey talk. Back to baseball, though, immediately after that with Jorge Araujo, our senior writer for Vice Sports, and John Palmarosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. Lots of baseball ahead in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.